puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Field trip today for all you history enthusiasts. Gordon Goldsborough joins me now, and he's going to talk about an actual place that people can visit today.
That's right. Last week, the clue that I gave was that we had talked about the moving of a grain elevator from a place called Roundthwaite to Nesbitt. We're going to continue on the same theme this week. We're going to talk about moving a grain elevator, and more specifically about the grain elevators themselves, the technology that that implied. And we're going to talk today about one at Tyndall, Manitoba.
That people can visit.
Absolutely. In fact, just a note that to listeners that if you are interested in seeing a real grain elevator, in one that until recently was operational, go to Tyndall. There's a open house today between 11 o'clock and 3, and you can see everything inside, all the workings. It's a wonderful opportunity. This is a particularly interesting elevator in that it was built around 1940 by a company called the Lake of the Woods Milling Company, and it operated it until 1959 when it was bought by Manitoba Pool. Manitoba Pool then was the one that took it into the present era until it was eventually sold. In fact, in 1971, it closed as a commercial elevator. It was sold to a fellow who then used it as a facility for making feed for hogs in the local area. And he used it from 1971 right through until 2012.
What's the oldest grain elevator in the province?
Well, we have the distinction of actually not only having the oldest elevator in Manitoba being the one at Elva, southwest of Melitta, but also the oldest in all of Canada. As far as we know, it built in 1897. The elevator at Elva is the oldest in Canada.
Wow.
Listeners may think, when you think about Prairie Canada, one of the most clear symbols is the grain elevator. You know, you have this thought in your mind that they're all over the prairies. And in fact, that was at one time the case. There were hundreds of them here in Manitoba. Unfortunately, it's not the case anymore. They have been taken down. Well, in fact, even in the last few weeks, there have been several grain elevators around Manitoba being demolished because the technology is changing. You know, the old wooden grain elevators that used to be so common are being replaced by a few very large ones made of either steel or concrete. So these wooden ones are increasingly rare. And so the opportunities to see them are likewise rare.
And yet the technology for the time of these grain elevators were very impressive and innovative. Could you try and explain how these grain elevators work?
Yeah, well, in the earliest days of grain handling, they used something called a flat warehouse. And basically, you just bring a wagon with your grain up the side of the wagon, up to the side of this warehouse, and they would just carry it inside and store these sacks of grain. But eventually, they replaced these flat warehouses with vertical buildings called elevators. And the premise of that was that they could take the grain and you would pour it down into a pit, and then there'd be an elevator basically that would pick up the grain and carry it upwards and deposit it in the big tanks, big compartments in the elevator itself. So all very automated compared to the old warehouses. And that's what really revolutionized grain handling on the prairies.
And so there was that, the element of the elevation, but also the distribution of the different kinds of grain.
That's right. Well, because of course, farmers would grow different types of grain. They would have different qualities of grain. You just couldn't blend it all together in one big compartment. So in the elevator, there would be several compartments, separate compartments. The grain that would come into the elevator, the farmer would pour it down into something called the pit. And then there was a device called a leg. The leg was basically a big conveyor belt. It was a circular belt that had buckets attached to it, initially made out of wood and later out of metal. And these buckets would come along down into the pit, pick up a scoop of grain, take it up to the top, and dump it. Well, once it's at the top of the elevator, you need some way to distribute it. So they had a device. It went by various names, I think mainly based on the company that had made them. But one of the more common names was the Gerber. And this Gerber device was kind of like an octopus. By controlling it at the bottom, the agent in charge of the elevator could kind of redirect the flow of grain into one of the various compartments. And that's how they could then have one. They could have 15 farmers come into the elevator, each dumping grain into the pit, and each of them going into a different compartment by doing all this regulation. So it was really an elegant piece of equipment, very low tech, virtually all made out of wood. And that was the really interesting thing, too. This was like a wooden machine. So many of the parts were made out of wood. Now, you'd think, well, fire would be a bad thing.
Yeah.
But the bigger issue was that they didn't want any metal parts that could hit each other and cause a spark. because, of course, that can then start a fire. So as long as you were careful and you didn't have any sources of flame, for instance, if you went into any grain elevator, you'd see all kinds of signs, no smoking, absolutely no smoking, because that, of course, could start a fire.
And how was it all powered?
Well, a lot of it's by manpower. A lot of it, for example, there was a thing called a man lift in these things, so that if the agent of the elevator had to go up to the Gerber at the top to fix a problem, he'd want to go up to the top of the elevator. Well, there was actually a little one-person elevator that could take him up to the top, and it was run by a rope. You just grab the rope and pull on it, and you'd pull yourself up to the top. The leg, the thing that carried the grain, was run usually by a very small, sometimes it was a steam engine, sometimes it was a little gasoline engine, usually not electricity, because most of these elevators were built in the days before there was electricity. Of course, a lot of rural Manitoba wasn't electrified until the 50s and 60s, so you had to have some means to move the grain without electricity. So really very primitive in a way, but really sophisticated too.
So the one today, is that still working?
Well, it's not working in the sense that it's handling grain anymore. It stopped being used as an elevator about 5 years ago in 2012, but it's still completely intact. I mean, you can wander around and you can see all of the pieces. You can see, for example, the elevator agent's building. There's a little building on the side, which is where the elevator agent was. That was, by the way, the only building that would be heated. So in the wintertime, for example, the elevator itself would be cold because, you know, it's the temperature of the outside. The only place that you could go in and get warm was in the agent's house. There would be a little pot-bellied stove, perhaps. And this was often the center of the community. You know, people would come there for a cup of coffee with the agent just to, you know, share the local gossip, you know, talking about local news. And that little building, the elevator agent building, along with the desk of the agent that was built who knows how far back, is still there, along with the building itself.
Tell me about the elevator cat.
Well, okay. One of the problems, of course, in a building full of grain is that you have potential for rodents, you know, mice, for example. So you need something to kind of keep that in check. So most elevators would have at least one cat. And I know, for example, about a week ago, I was in Toulon and talking with the fellow that was running the elevator there. And I felt something rubbing up against my leg and looked down. Oh, there's the cat. Yeah. And this was a very friendly cat. And of course, the point was that she could keep the mice in control. So in fact, the one in Tyndall also has a cat. I'm told when I was there a few weeks back, we were told that she's actually had a litter of kittens underneath the elevator. So it's probably a good place to live. There's still, you know, grain there for them to feed on.
Now, what is the historical significance? Why are grain elevators important for us to be aware of and appreciate?
Well, of course, agriculture is part of our heritage. I mean, much of Manitoba's economy is driven by agriculture. People have this sort of sense of the history of our province that elevators are just such a fundamental part of. Part of our role has been to feed not just Manitobans, but to feed the world. You know, many people around the world have been fed on Manitoba grain. Well, these elevators represent the first step in transferring that grain to the world. You would come with your wagon or later with your truck. You'd deliver the grain. It would then be loaded onto a boxcar and to a train, which would then take it to maybe to a ship, which would then transfer it to some other part of the world. And, you know, in a very real way, these buildings, these elevators were the symbol of our feeding the world.
How can people go to the grain elevator today if they want to visit?
Well, today they're having an open house in Tyndall because the plan is to move the elevator. The owner of it would really like it not to be there because it is a bit of a cost for him. He has to buy insurance and so on. What they're hoping to do is to move it to Beausejour, to the museum there. And this is where it'll have a new life. It won't be a grain handling facility anymore. It'll be a museum, a living museum. So the idea is to move it there. And of course, they need to raise some funds. Well, they want people to know what they might be supporting if they're interested in helping out with this project. So they're having an open house today in Tyndall, starting at 11. You can go and you can see all the parts. You can see the man lift. You can see the leg. You can also see the balloon annex sitting beside the elevator because sometimes they would have more grain than they could physically store inside the elevator. So they would build an annex, an additional storage component. And this one has an early example of what's called a balloon annex.
And yet there's no balloon. So just in case visitors are disappointed, it's not a helium balloon. But
no.
Definitely worth checking out. And you have a call out that you want to give to listeners?
Yes. Well, I'm thinking that probably quite a number of our listeners have had some experiences with elevators through their lives. Maybe they're familiar with the one in Tyndall, or maybe they have experiences at some of the other elevators around the province. I'd like to hear some of those stories. So if any listener would like to call and leave me a message about their reminiscences of elevators, please do so. They can call me, 204-474-7469. Again, 204-474-7469. You know, just call, leave me as detailed a message as you want, and I'm really looking forward to sort of the things I'm going to hear.
Now tell us about next week's clue.
Well, a lot of the episodes we talk about in this series make people rather nostalgic mm-hmm. about the past. I think next week, the site we're going to visit might make them a little crabby.
Okay. And that's where we're going to leave it. Can't
<That's>
wait.
<it. laughs>
Gordon, thank you so much for joining me and have a great time today.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.